Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.
How important are the words we use when celebrating Mass? How faithful should liturgical texts be to the original Latin? Are these questions really important to the people in the pews? To find the answers, Christopher Wells spoke with Archbishop Terence Pendergrast of Ottawa, Canada's representative on the Vox Clara Committee, which helps the Vatican with its English language translations of the liturgy.
Vox Clara is a consultative body for the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Discipline of the Sacraments. It was established about 2001 or two. I came on in 2003. To advise the congregation with regard to translations, particularly the translation of the Roman Missal into English. Cardinal Pell kept saying it's going to take 2 years, and eventually the last 2 years it did take 2 years. But it was a project that was much bigger than we expected. Partly it was because of the change in translation philosophy from dynamic equivalence, which had been the norm for the first Missal in English, to basically a precise translation or more formal equivalent translation. So word for word almost. A question, for example, of pro multis, for the many or for all. The first translation for the words of institution of the chalice was for all, but which is an interpretation. The word in Latin is pro multis, and so that's really what our English translation says now. We were guided by a text called Liturgium Authenticam, put out by the congregation. And those gave us the rules and principles for translation, and we've been following them very closely. Now that the Missal has been finished, we have other sacramental books to work on. Liturgical texts are being translated into English again by International Commission on English and Liturgy, ISIL. And our congregation, our commission really, committee, is continuing to advise. So this particular meeting, we're looking at several books, one on exorcisms, the translation of the exorcism formulas, the formula for the dedication of an altar in a church, the rite of marriage, the rite of confirmation, and an initial look at texts for, as a supplement to the breviary for saints that have been added since 1974 when the first Missal came out. So we have quite a few new saints that were looked after in the Missal, but they're not in the breviary. We don't have a second reading in the Office of Readings, for example, or we obviously have the concluding prayer, but some of the versicles and so on are not there. So we're looking at those. So it's a kind of an overview of quite a number of texts, some of which have already gone to bishops' conferences for commentary, and we're either looking at them for the first time or looking at them again. So the congregation will then decide what their timeline is, along with ISIL.
And I think most of the members, you yourself obviously, bring a pastoral experience to this. How are these translations going to affect the people in the pews? Can you talk a little bit about how you're guided by the impact on the people and what pastoral impact that's had so far is introducing the new texts?
Well, I think one of the main tasks that we have is to explain to people why we need to have precise translations, because there's a richness to the liturgical tradition, which in a dynamic equivalent translation, some of the riches were lost, some of the biblical allusions were not really captured, and so on. And so we want them to have a richer experience, and that's what the language is. It's complicated. It sometimes takes a bit of getting used to, and so on. So in that pastoral sense, we really want to say, look, if you want to get the full riches of something that we've had, or prayers that have been there since the 5th, 6th, 8th, 13th century, we need to be precise. And they've not been precise, and you've really lost some of the riches. So that's really what we're trying to do. Obviously, the pastoral application has to be to say, well, things are not going to work in this particular translation for this reason. So the pastoral thing is the interaction of all of these issues.
Are there some specific things that people in the pews might see as a result of your work, the work that you're doing now?
Hard to say. Not too many people take part in exorcisms. And there's been a great debate among exorcists as to whether the formulas have somehow or other taken some of the punch out of the power of the church's ministry on that. I wouldn't care to enter into that. I have a minimal experience of that. We have exorcists in my diocese, a Francophone and an Anglophone, English-speaking and French-speaking person. Many dioceses don't have exorcists. Some of them do. So it'll be significant for a select number of people. On the other hand, I think if the books are published and people start reading, they'll see that, oh, there's really something here, that the church really believes that Satan and other enemy angels are present there and harm people, and that we call on the power of Jesus Christ to transform them and to have the demons depart them and to heal them.
So that's something Pope Francis has talked about a number of times.
Yes. Same thing with the dedication of an altar. The dedication of an altar over a church, that's not going to happen very, very often in our North American context, because only in the suburbs where we're building new churches, but many times we're closing churches. And yet in an area where churches are growing, say the American South or suburban areas or large dioceses, this is going to be important. So to get a beautiful translation is going to be important.
So you've talked about what you're working on right now are some of the texts that most people aren't going to see every day. Has that been your experience? Have you had a chance to look at these texts anew as you're obviously studying them in depth?
This is my first time to really look at exorcism texts. I have to tell you, I basically entrusted the whole ministry of the exorcist to the exorcist person who was named. Our big challenge was to find suitable persons for that. We just presumed that the documents and the texts that they would use are already known to them and that would be used. But these are a part of the rich heritage of the transformation of the liturgy that took place with the Second Vatican Council. And I think perhaps study guides would help us to understand these more. But honestly, this has not been a part of my life until fairly recently.
And we talked earlier about your experience as a Jesuit. Have you met Pope Francis before in the past?
No, I haven't. I'm hoping that this week we might.
How have people in Canada been reacting to the new Holy Father?
Very positively, I would say. Almost everybody I've talked to has something positive to say, something good to say about him. Sometimes they're not exactly sure why, but they just have the sense that he's doing things differently and that he's perhaps not as formal as others have been in the past and closer to the people, and they appreciate that.
Would you say the same is true of bishops and priests? It's easy to get men in the street, and bishops and priests sometimes have a different perspective.
I think the priests and the bishops are quite enthusiastic about the Holy Father. I think they, just as they know that their role is to somehow rather represent Christ and to bring their own personality to bear in what they're doing, they can see that his personality and his approach and his experiences are a real richness to the church. And I think for us, it's not to imitate him slavishly, but to take some of the principles that he's saying, you know, we've got to be close to the people, and have we somehow shied away from them, and how can we go back? Some of the things he said to me have made me think, well, maybe I could take a different approach to people who are in jail or people who are really in need. I do visit people in need quite often, but maybe I don't have it as centrally a part of my ministry as perhaps I should. The poor are very important to Christ. They're the friends of our Lord and the friends of God, and I should be close to them, and they're my people.
Vatican Viewpoint. Insights, ideas, and analysis from where the Church meets the world.